Then Shrek kissed the princess. She turned into a beautiful ogre, and they lived
happily
ever
after.
But alas, my dear friends, we have come to the final chapter.
And I am afraid our hero has fallen victim to a terrible curse.
Oh no.
From DreamWorks.
Fiona.
What's happening?
Donkey, it's me.
I've never seen you before in my life.
It's Shrek.
Your best friend?
Whoa! Please eat my face last and send my hooves to my mama.
This summer, far, far away, is in big, big trouble.
Puss?
What happened to you?
I may have let myself go a little, but I have all the cream I can drink and all the mice I can chase. I'll get him later.
DreamWorks. Shrek Forever After. The final chapter in 3D. May 2010.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to 14 Months of Mike. We planned it this way all along. It's Zach and Callie. I apologize for the long gap, but also I don't apologize because did you want to watch Shrek Forever After between August and now? I'm pretty sure you didn't.
It's funny because there's the other podcast that did that. I assume I haven't listened to it, but I assume it does this podcast better than we did.
It could
the
only
same concept, but better. And from what I understand, I need to actually listen to that. But from what I understand, they watched everything that Mike Myers did, which I don't know, may include the John and Lennon thing that we were going through, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But they definitely watched like interviews and stuff. And I think that they watched the movies multiple times, I could not even get myself to watch some of these movies one time.
Once. I know. It's like I dragged my fucking feet. Like August was when we were supposed to do this. And I was just like busy with some stuff and my kid going back to school. And like, you know, so I was like, okay, we'll let it slip into September. It is now, as we record this, it is September 30th. So this won't be posting until probably the first week of October.
What did you watch instead of Mike Myers movies?
I mean, so many things. So many better things.
Like, yeah. I rewatched the Batman movies. Michael Keaton and then
all of those.
Val Kilmer and then George Clooney.
Yeah, I would honestly say, and I'm not a Batman and Robin defender per se, but I would rather watch any of those movies than Shrek Forever After. Like, no question.
Yeah, it was great. I watched those. We got Disney Plus finally, so I started watching like the classic Disney movies that I haven't seen in, like 20
again, years. Also better than Shrek.
Like, yeah, and it's funny because Shrek is supposed to be like anti anti-Disney, not really anti-Disney, but like, oh, this is making fun of Disney, I guess. I like every fucking Disney movie I've seen better than any of the Shreks, honestly. And I don't even like Disney that much.
Yeah. The animation is better, the voice acting, they're often funnier. Like,
yeah.
There's really no comparison. Yeah, I watched what have I watched? I just watched that that show on Netflix, Squid Game. That like, have you seen the ads for that?
I keep seeing memes for that. I don't know.
Yeah,
what that's about.
It's kind of interesting. It's very like it. At first, I wasn't. It was out for like a month before I watched it because I was like, this just looks like Battle Royale, you know, it like the like dystopian deadly competition thing. I was like, I don't know if I feel like, but it felt like very, did you see the movie Parasite that won the Oscar? It felt very post Parasite, like it got greenlit after Parasite was a big success, because it's like kind of, you know, making a point about the class system in Korea and, you know, just like the whole thing is like an allegory for capitalism, and the characters were interesting. So I actually enjoyed it a lot more than I would. And
maybe I'll give that a try now that I don't have Shrek hanging over my head anymore. Like, I don't have to feel guilty about watching other stuff.
This has been our segment of talking about better things than what we're going to spend the rest of the episode talking about. Let me see real quick if I'm not prepared for this at all. Let me just see real quick if anybody left a comment.
I feel like people just lost patience.
I think so. I think everybody's just like, we'll hit you up when you when you talk about Kiss again. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if you've been, I know that some people made it at least for most of this series, and
when was the last time we talked? I'm talking a lot about other stuff because I don't have shit to say about Shrek, honestly. So I want to keep talking about other stuff. But what was the last time we talked about Kiss officially when we saw them?
That's like when we saw them. Yeah, like 2 years ago. I think that's the last concert I saw before the pandemic. So that's.
I think it was mine too. And what sucks too is that I saw Grace Jones in July, and that would have been my last concert. But then I saw Kiss in August and completely fucked it up.
Yeah, you ruined your perfect record. Yeah,
it wasn't exactly perfect. It was definitely checkered, but it would have ended with a bang.
Yeah,
Kiss they've been on this goddamn farewell tour for like a full 2 years or almost 3 years now. It seems like,
right, and it keeps getting longer because they keep getting COVID. Like,
yeah. Or having to shut down because of COVID. And they were playing Detroit, I think, on September 3rd. And my best friend texted me and was like, hey, Kiss is playing in Detroit. Do you want to see them? And I was like, no.
I don't want my first concert before and after the pandemic to be the same Kiss tour. Like, that's right. just fucked up.
Yeah, and not only that, but also it's like, especially in Detroit, I don't want to be going to no concerts. People don't really wear masks out here.
Nobody in the Kiss audience is going to have a fucking
mask. I know, which is crazy because Gene Simmons, like, actively was advocating for masks.
I know, and everybody in his comments are always, like, yelling at him about it. It's actually amazing.
Yeah. So, like, any concert I don't want to go to. We almost went to Rod Stewart.
I know. Yeah,
Rod had the foresight to cancel that and bump it up a year.
Yeah,
I didn't want to go to concerts, especially not a kid. Do concert I've already been to. It's gonna be the same goddamn show because they're doing the same show that they've been doing at least since Rock the Nation.
Right.
And it's like
stage banter, like.
Yeah, like every same set list, damn near. Like, I'm like, no, I don't want to go. And then, like, I already had said no, and then I found out that literally both Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons contracted COVID, and the show was canceled. So,
yeah, I want to speak to the Rod Stewart thing real quick because I also don't want to talk about Shrek. So the Rod Stewart, like. That was that's my big tragedy of this, like those memes, my 2021 plans, and then the Delta variant. That's my story.
What would be the pictures associated with that? So it's Rod Stewart.
It would definitely be Rod Stewart, and then I don't know, a bunch of sailors maybe. I'm not gonna explain that joke. You can look it up.
Listen to our Let's Play Earthbound. This is buried in us playing a video game for the 90s.
Yeah, it was such a bummer because I remember it was like right at that beginning, that like wonderful, you know, post-vaccine period where everybody was like, oh, it's over, everybody's gonna get vaccinated and then things will reopen and it'll all be good, and so it was like, oh, I'll go to an outdoor concert, you know, like that, I'll be vaccinated, blah blah blah. And sure enough, Rod Stewart, he must have known something that we didn't, because he was like, nope, I'll catch you in 2022.
Shit. Rod called it. Why? Look to Rod. Rod is the only real leader here.
Yeah, he's the bellwether.
Who else is checking for us? Not our government, but Rod Stewart is.
Right. After he did that, everything went to shit. Like, you know.
Yeah, Rod knew it. That's why I'm going to check Rod Stewart's social media whenever something's popping up. He's the only person I can trust.
He's the canary in the coal mine. Like, so yeah, that was a real bummer. It was Rod Stewart and Cheap Trick. And I was like, oh, it's Cheap Trick is opening for him. He's not going to be doing the fucking standards. Like, he's going to actually, we might get to hear Hot Legs. So I was like pumped for that show. And now who knows if it's going to happen. But anyway, so on to other depressing things. Shrek 4, let's get this shit over with. It's been more than a year of us watching these fucking Mike Myers movies. If you're listening, if you've made it this far and you're tired of Mike Myers, I sympathize, but also listen all the way to the end, because we'll tell you what we're doing next. And I think you'll like it better. It can only be better than this, to be fair. So Shrek Forever After came out 2010. You know, if you want to put yourself in the historical context, this is like 3 years after The Love Guru. So, you know, Mike Myers' career is officially, like, this is the only thing left for Mike Myers. This is the only.
Also, the year I graduated high school. So, oh.
That. So, like, 3 years after Shrek the Third, which I guess is about, that's about right. Yeah, they came out, like, every 3 years or so. In my mind, it was a bigger gap. It received mixed reviews from critics, but it was the fifth highest grossing film of 2010. It was originally marketed to be the final installment in the film franchise. But a fifth Shrek film has been reported to be in production.
No! No!
I know, no, it's more. Like, is Mike going to be in this? I think he might not. I feel like I feel like what I've heard is that it's going to be a reboot, because I just think, you know,
So how do you do a reboot of a fucking CGI movie?
That's a good question. Maybe Shrek will be... even uglier. I don't know.
Yeah, like, as the CGI improved, the characters got markedly ugly. Even worse.
Yeah, yeah.
For fuck's sake. I'm not watching that shit.
I'm not either. I'm glad we're getting this. That's one thing. I'm glad we're getting this over with. Like, there's been no sign of Austin Powers 4, no sign of Shrek 5. Even that fucking, you know, that Netflix show that Mike is doing, the Pentaveret or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen a trailer. God. It's like we're going to be safely out of Mike Myers territory when the shit hits the fan. I can't promise I'm not going to watch stuff out of morbid curiosity, but I will not have to feel any pressure to podcast about it. So this is like... perfect. It's the only thing I'm excited about. I don't have anything to say about it. It's another fucking Shrek movie. What do you want? I mean, that was basically the marketing. Like, it's just another Shrek movie. Line up to the Shrek slop bucket and, you know, dip your head in. Like, the only other thing I will say is that I'm looking at the poster right now, and the tagline is "It ain't ogre till it's ogre." So
that's the fucking truth.
Yeah.
Shrek marketing is just so funny to me, because it's like they've created a whole universe in just the marketing.
Yeah.
Ogre for over.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, this movie, it was not good. It was a bad movie, but it wasn't, we both kind of talked about this beforehand. It wasn't unwatchable. And I mean, I think that's true of all of the Shreks. Like, there's a reason why these movies are popular. You can watch them and not, you know, want to blow your brains out. Like, I was mostly bored by this movie. I was just kind of like waiting for it to be over. I wasn't, you know, miserable. I wasn't in agony. It definitely wasn't as hard to watch as The Love Guru, but it was not entertaining. Everybody seemed to be phoning it in, especially Mike. Like, Mike Myers is just a non-entity in this movie. I don't know if he was in a deep depression, deep Love Guru, like, created depression or what, but he is just like, he's sleepwalking through this movie.
And that's something to think about, too, because I often am, like, struggling with mental health, and I have to just go and fucking smile in people's faces all day. Imagine just go and yell in a Scottish ogre's voice. I mean, the difference would be that I'd be paying my bills with that amount of money, but
right yeah, but
there's a part where Eddie Murphy, there's a lot of more Eddie Murphy singing in this.
There is, yeah.
And there's this part where he's singing Hit Me With Your Best Shot by Pat Benatar, but he's just, like, screaming it.
Ah, hit me with your best shot! Why don't you hit me with your best shot? Ah, hit me with your best shot!
Oh, no.
He's just, like, yelling into the microphone. I'm just imagining, like, Eddie Murphy just goes into an empty booth and is just screaming Hit Me With Your Best Shot by Pat Benatar into a microphone. And then just cash in that check.
Yeah, in a weird way, you know, like, obviously actors are overpaid, and, you know, we all It's like nobody should make that amount of money. But in a weird way, if you really think about it, it's a shitty job. Like, it's like, do I think Eddie Murphy should have, you know, gotten the like $1 million plus that I'm sure he got for this movie? No, you know, I think that's outrageous, and there are lots of worse jobs out there. But it's also like, you know, it is legitimately pretty demeaning. So,
well, someone described it to me as like, you have to just, I mean, not obviously not in Shrek. Well, maybe in Shrek, but like really good roles for like Academy Award winning movies. For the most part, you have to like reach back into probably traumatic events in your life and like relive that trauma in order to evoke emotion from this character.
Right.
And then just like do that over and over and over again until they get the shot.
Right.
Or like best case scenarios, you have to be Shrek every 3 years. Relive that fucking trauma.
So I mean, that was one thing that kind of gave me, that made me feel a little bit better, is that honestly nobody on screen seemed to be any more excited about this movie than I was. So it was kind of I at least felt like I had company. I guess let me start with I'll start with the mic proof. I don't have the third Shrek to compare this to, because we, as you might remember, really phoned that in and only watched it. We watched it live, so I didn't do any of the metrics for that. But I can at least say this has a mic proof of 170, or if you remember, I think it's fair to have it for Shrek movies, because we're only ever hearing him. We're never seeing Mike Myers. So really it's an 85 proof. And even by Shrek standards, that's pretty low. Like Shrek 2, we were measuring at a 90 to 185, depending on how you want to track that. And then the first Shrek was exactly the same, 90 to 185. So this is the lowest proof of the series, presumably. And then also, I think even the mic that we do get, like I said, is pretty watered down, pretty diluted. He doesn't have any presence. He just seems bored and tired and sad like everybody else.
We don't even see Shrek's ass in this one.
You don't.
Mike Myers' ass, whether CGI or real life.
Right. He is, you know, nude more than I would prefer.
One of the opening scenes, it's him and Fiona in bed, and Fiona is wearing a full-on nightgown, and Shrek is seemingly nude, like completely naked.
See, that part upset me, because I was kind of coming to this movie with a chip on my shoulder, but I was like, there we go. They obviously fucked the night before, and my girlfriend was there, and she was like, the kids are in bed with them. But I feel like the international language of cinema tells us that if a man and a woman wake up in the morning and they're in a good mood, then they had sex the night before. I don't think you can argue against that. And also,
movies, people fuck in beds with their kids, don't they?
Yeah. I feel like, and with how flagrantly horny Shrek and Fiona were in the other movies, I feel like I would not put it past them. It's disgusting, and I don't approve of their lifestyle.
But you're not, like, are you meant to, though? Because this whole opening sequence is just a whole shit show of like, it's supposed to be their like idyllic life with their kids,
right?
And then it like turns into like a Groundhog Day scenario where it's the same thing every single day, and Shrek is getting bored and upset that he's not treated like an ogre anymore, and he's just like a family man. But like, it just looks like terrible from the beginning.
It does. Like, why do they have three kids? Are they supposed to be triplets? Like, that's...
Yeah, like, that was my thing. Like, do ogres have litters?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on?
And to be fair, before anybody writes in, this was probably addressed in the third movie, but if you remember, we barely paid attention to the third movie. So, but as a viewer, I think that it should be clear to me, I shouldn't have to have seen the third movie to understand why they have so many damn kids.
I feel like in the third movie, they just had the like dream babies, and Fiona said she was pregnant, but Shrek didn't hear her.
Right.
And then like the babies that were in there were like in his dream.
Yeah. Do they have ultrasounds in Far, Far Away? Like, would they have any way of knowing that she was having triplets? I don't know.
Because they have like some modern technology, but then they also have like boats.
Yeah. Was that in...
There are any planes or any airplanes. They're like...
Was that in some kind of short? Was there like a DreamWorks short of Fiona getting an ultrasound?
I mean, it seems likely. I'm not looking into it, though. I'm not fucking watching it.
I'm sure somebody's made fan art of Fiona getting an ultrasound. So, yeah, we open with this. It's actually a very, very, very bad minutes to Mike. This actually might be our worst minutes to Mike ever. I counted like 5 minutes before
because it starts with a whole bunch of like exposition from the older movie, like from the first movie, really, because it happens. The king is alive again. So the first thing you see is the king alive. And it turns out that all of this is happening like before Fiona got rescued, which I don't fucking understand the logistics of this. So they chose to put her in the tower, right? Like she got cursed or whatever. And I thought that they as parents chose to put her in the tower. Or am I wrong about that?
Well, so this is what confuses me, because how many fucking fairy tale creatures did they make a bargain with? Because it was established in Shrek 2 that the fairy godmother was behind the whole tower plot, you know, the whole like put her in a tower and Prince Charming will rescue her. That was her spell. But then we also find out that while she was in the tower, they then went to find Rumpelstiltskin, who just came out of fucking nowhere, and also struck a deal with him, or were about to strike a deal with him. And then that's when Shrek rescued Fiona. So I guess it's the classic like prequel problem, where now you stick in this whole other, you know, important event that we're just supposed to believe happened before the first movie, but nobody ever mentions it. You know, like it's
right. And then even disregarding the plot with Rumpelstiltskin, even before that happened, I don't understand like how we got from Shrek 1 to Shrek 2, because in Shrek 2, that's when we find out that like Fiona had this great life and she was at her parents' house. Like she has diaries until she was like, a preteen or something.
Right.
And she was meant to marry Prince Charming. I don't remember when she got cursed, but like, to me, it seems like she could have just stayed at the castle. She's only an ogre at night. So just like why she had to be in the tower, just keep her in her castle at night hidden. And then like she was already set up to like she already had a crush on Prince Charming or whatever. So if it was like a plan to get him to be king, it seemed like he was already like set up to do that. But then it seemed like the fairy godmother put like another hurdle in there.
Right.
Anyway, so I don't really get what that whole like thing was. It didn't make any sense, because it seemed like the parents, the king and queen of Far, Far Away, chose to put her in the tower to fulfill this like bullshit spell that the fairy godmother put on her. But I don't really understand how that even happened, because it seemed like they were already going to get married. So what they did was just put a whole bunch of hurdles in the way and then end up having Shrek save her.
Right. There's just like it's too much
stupid.
There's too much story in these movies. and case in point, we get 5 minutes of story before Shrek fucking shows up. When he does show up, like you were saying, Callie, it's this like version of their life in miniature. Like they keep waking up and doing the same things every day. And it kind of felt also like a microcosm of the movies, because it was like, wake up, one of the babies farts, Fiona says better out than in. Like I thought it poetically mirrored how the movies were going through the motions at this point. It's like, you know, the first day was Shrek 1 and you're like, oh, this is fun. You know, this is something different. And then by the last day where Shrek is at the end of his rope, that's Shrek forever after. Like that's how we feel at that point.
My thing with this stuff too is like, I've never been a parent, but how often do babies really piss and shit on people? Because it's so prevalent in media.
It's a daily basis in this movie. That's
yeah. Sure. And it's so prevalent in other media where babies are just pissing and shitting on everybody that it's like, does this really happen this often, like daily?
Yeah.
Because I know they're ogres or whatever, so they're more gross, but like, it just seems like a lot. And then there was one point where I just like, honestly, I just shut down. And this was like within 6 minutes that the movie had been on. I was like, I'm not watching this anymore. And I just started drawing. And then in the background, I could just hear like all kinds of farting noises. All I heard was like farting. Like, why the fuck am I putting myself through this? Like, I feel like we should do a fart proof, honestly.
Yeah.
With the Shrek movies, we should abandon mic proof and just do a fart proof, because I feel like every movie has gotten stronger and stronger.
I think
like,
you're right. Yeah.
So much more farty. It's like the chart as the comedy goes down, like there was like a peak with Shrek 1 and then it went down. And then as that line was going down, the fart index was shooting.
It
was
going it's like an exact like the curves mirror each other perfectly. Yeah. So we see their shitty life. And the point of this movie is that Shrek is having a midlife crisis.
I never meant to think like, oh, like Fiona literally says, like, spoiler, part of the plot of this movie is Shrek doesn't understand what he has and he doesn't really appreciate his beautiful life. And I'm just looking at their family thinking like, this looks like fucking hell. Yeah. They live in a swamp where, like, for some reason there's like tours that go on. So every day they have no privacy and this tour bus just like pops in and like commentates on their life. Meanwhile in the little shack that they live in, a fucking swamp, it's just a fart fest in there.
I forgot that every day of this montage the toilet is clogged and Shrek has to fix it. And the fucked up thing is that the babies are presumably still in diapers. So
that's what I was gonna say. There were only two adults that would like use the toilet, because I guess Donkey and the Dragon come over in the evening every single night for some reason, but presumably they're not using the toilet because they're not built to use a toilet. So Shrek is like complaining about the toilet being clogged, but it's like, y'all are doing that. Like,
yeah, maybe you should get more fiber or something. Like,
like, what is really going on over there?
Yeah, I honestly never related to Shrek more than when he's just miserable at the beginning of this movie. I find that's the most relatable. I think he's
happy at the beginning, and then as things continue to spiral out of control, the farts continue to fly, and the toilet continues to clog day in and day out.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
He understandably gets a little upset. Yeah. And I can understand that.
Right.
And then like everyone else, when it goes to the party, so there it's a birthday party for his three children, and it just looks like his daily agenda or whatever just looks like absolute hell. But then this birthday party, it has absolutely nothing on this birthday party. All of the villagers are just fucking assholes. There's this child that keeps coming up to him asking him to roar. He'll just be like, do the roar. And he does that like 40 times. And it's like, I only do the roar when I'm angry. And the kid just keeps picking at him, and his dad just lets him disrespect this grown-ass man, or grown-ass ogre. And he has a cake for his three babies, who it's their first birthday, and the fucking pigs eat it.
Who are then, not even, like Donkey, this is like, what...
licks the cake.
Yeah.
He just, like, takes his big-ass dirty donkey tongue that's probably been in that dragon's pussy... and licked it across the frosting of his baby's cake. And then Shrek, like, turns away for a second, and those fucking pigs have eaten the entire cake. And then for some reason they have, like, three cakes because these assholes keep eating it. So I guess they're just prepared for these villagers and fairy tale creatures to completely ruin this party, so they planned ahead.
Yeah, this was the moment where I was like, we've talked about this before. You know, like, obviously at the beginning of the series, Shrek hates the fairy tale creatures. He wants them out of his swamp. And we're like, yes, that is exactly what any reasonable person would do when faced with Pinocchio. You know, like this universe is Pinocchio. Like, yeah, you want that fucker out of your swamp. And in this, but... But
that's his property. Why am I meant to sympathize with the fairy tale creatures when there's a wolf in his bed? There's like these three mice just like running around his table. Nobody wants mice in their house. Right. And we're meant to be like, oh, why doesn't he want friends? No, fuck that. Get out of this man's house.
Yeah, they're shitty friends. Like, that's the thing. Like, I feel like he's not even that close to the fucking pigs. And they ate his birthday cake. And we're supposed to think.
It's his children's birthday cake. What? You're just flagrantly disregarding like, just any kind of manners or anything. Like, why is it okay for them to come to someone's birthday party and just completely fucking ruin it? And then Shrek is the asshole because he gets a little upset about it. Like, everyone is just being loudly an asshole. And Fiona sees it. This is the first time I've ever sided with Shrek, because usually I'm team Fiona. But this time I was like, you see this,
right?
And then he like gets upset because they just fucked up two cakes, right? And then he fucked up the third one. But it's because it's been a free for all. People just been eating his cake and licking everything and bugging him and like picking at him the whole time. And so he gets upset, and then it's like a hushed silence,
right?
He storms out, and Fiona comes after him, and he's like, "Yeah, the villagers are assholes." I don't remember what he actually said, but he basically says that, and Fiona's like, I'm not talking about the villagers. It's like, you better be talking about the villagers. Did you not see what just happened?
I noticed that we had a little bit of a break. I think we talked about this with Shrek the Third. There was not as much like Shrek and Fiona arguing. That comes back in a big way in this movie. But I guess it makes sense because we're in this like, you know, midlife crisis, domestic drama world, and so the beginning is just arguing with his wife. But yeah, for once
what do you, he's what in do the you right. love in your kids' animated film is domestic disputes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he doesn't want this life anymore. It's not even that he doesn't want his life, he wants like a break, which like, how can you fucking blame him? Because that birthday party alone, I mean, it was miserable to watch. I can only imagine what it was like to be there. Meanwhile, Rumpelstiltskin is like scheming, you know, because he lost his chance to like rule the kingdom or whatever. And so he knows that Shrek is a sucker, basically. So he arranges it so that he meets Shrek. And then he gives Shrek this offer of like, oh, what if you could just have one day where you could be an ogre again or whatever.
Which, by the way, is almost the exact same plot as Shrek 2.
Yeah.
FYI.
Yeah. It is pretty much, this is pretty much Shrek 2 again. There's even the handsome, you know, like in Shrek 2, he turns into a handsome human Shrek. In Shrek Forever After, there is another ogre who's basically a handsome Shrek, and he's played by John Hamm. So, That's something. So anyway, Rumpelstiltskin gets Shrek to sign this contract. This is something I want to point out, is that Rumpelstiltskin, when somebody's about to sign his contract, he makes noises of arousal.
Contract. Sign it.
And I really don't like it. I just don't like it. He's just a really repulsive character.
I don't like anything about him. I don't like his face. They do a lot of really extreme close-ups of his face, and I don't appreciate it. I don't like his teeth. It's just, he's a repulsive character.
Yeah, he really is. Even by Shrek standards, this is a movie with, remember, Pinocchio. So like, even by those standards, I feel like Rumpelstiltskin is a new low. So of course, Rumpelstiltskin tricked him. Like, this is what I don't get. Like, you live in a fairy tale world. Famously, every contract, every deal in a fairy tale world, like somebody's going to come back and take your firstborn child, or like there's always like some thing that's going to bite you in the ass. And yet for some reason, these people keep signing contracts. So he makes this deal. He's like, oh, well, you just have to give me one day in return. Like, I'll give you this day where you can live out your, you know, midlife crisis fantasy. And you just give me a day from when you were a kid. You won't even remember it.
I don't even get his midlife crisis fantasy, because his midlife crisis fantasy is he just wants to be who he was before he got married. So right. It's not even a midlife crisis. It's just like he just doesn't want to be married and have kids anymore, I guess.
Right. He just wants everybody to hate him again. So, you know, of course, the day that he takes is the day Shrek was born. Like, I like couldn't see that coming a mile away. So Shrek wakes up in this alternate universe.
So now it's A Wonderful Life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's no longer Shrek 2. It's now A Wonderful Life. And we have like a montage of him scaring people. And then somehow Shrek is shocked to discover that the deal wasn't what it seemed. Because again, he acts like he's never been in a fairy tale scenario before. He goes to Rumpelstiltskin, who now is the king of Far, Far Away, because Shrek doesn't exist. There's a lot. I was thinking, like, I mostly paid attention to this movie. And there's, like, a lot of stuff that I missed. Like, I'm looking at the voice cast right now. And the first thing I saw was that Doris, Larry King, as Doris the Ugly Stepsister, is back. I do not remember her in this movie. Regis Philbin as Mabel the Ugly Stepsister, again, is also supposed to have been in this movie.
Maybe they were at the party, but it was just like too much going on.
So there was just, yeah, you just hear Regis and Larry King yelling in the background. Yeah. That is probably.
I want their vocal parts. just that.
Yeah, that's probably right. But I recognize John Hamm. I did not know Jane Lynch was in this movie. She's one.
I saw that. She was one of the main Shreks. She was one of the main ogres. It was like her and John Hamm were like
right. Okay.
The two main ogre people.
I heard Craig Robinson.
Yeah, I definitely heard him.
I didn't know Kathy Griffin was one of the witches.
I recognized that too, but only after I looked it up. I think I looked it up to see if Craig Robinson was that voice. Yeah. And when I did that, I saw Kathy Griffin was, and then I recognized her voice. It was a pretty minimal part, honestly.
Right. Also, honestly, Meredith Vieira was apparently one of the witches too. So yeah, like I missed a lot. And I feel like half of these fucking movies is like recognizing the people doing the voices. So I clearly missed a lot of the appeal here.
Which is stupid.
Yeah.
Why? Like, I hate shit like that. I hate stupid cameos like that. Everything is just so base. It's just for idiots. Oh, there's a celebrity in this.
Yeah.
So dumb.
So, okay, this Shrek has been bamboozled by Rumpelstiltskin. Rumpelstiltskin obviously is not going to reverse the curse. And so Shrek has to find a loophole in his contract. He kind of stumbles into that because he meets Donkey and he doesn't get it through his head that he's in an alternate universe. Donkey doesn't recognize him. Shrek is not a bright guy. Although I guess he's also, I guess, to be fair, if you were having an existential crisis like he is, you might be kind of slow on the uptake. Like, you know, maybe you wouldn't immediately assume, oh, I'm in an alternate universe where I never existed. But as somebody who watches movies, it's pretty fucking obvious that you're in an alternate universe where you never existed. So he has to figure out this other way out of Rumpelstiltskin's contract. He figures out that if he can get Fiona to kiss him, like, again, like true love's kiss is that'll break this curse or whatever. But Fiona is now leading this resistance of ogres. And her life honestly seems a lot better.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same. Honestly, everything is better about Shrek.
Yeah. I guess Donkey has a worse life, but is it worth all of this?
Being whipped and stuff.
Yeah.
He's doing what a fucking donkey should be doing.
Right.
Donkeys were made to pull carts and shit, carry loads. They were meant to fuck dragons and have a bunch of hell spawn babies with them. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
It's like this is restoring order to the universe. Like
that. Right.
The reality that should exist. One thing that I think is strange is, so I felt like it was pretty heavily implied that Shrek and Fiona were like the only ogres out there by the first three movies. So what kind of like butterfly effect is
if
it?
Shrek,
that if well, Shrek doesn't exist, there's like a ton more ogres. Like,
yeah, like so the weird. Ogres in this version of the world without Shrek are being like captured by witches and Rumpelstiltskin and I guess presumably killed.
Right.
But is that better or worse than Shrek existing and no other ogres existing?
Right.
Like, what about Shrek being born killed every other ogre?
Yeah, like, why don't they explore that? Like, they don't even mention it. This is just me, you know, idly thinking to myself while I'm watching this boring movie. So yeah, there's this ogre resistance that Fiona is leading, and she's like a warrior woman, and of course she doesn't want to kiss Shrek because, like, fucking look at him, and his personality is terrible. Like, it's just,
he's just like, he's being mad creepy. Like, yeah. He's just like, he shows up to her tent at night. He's like a stalker. He shows up to her tent at night with like chocolate and stuff, and he is basically just like trying to get her to kiss him the whole time. Yeah. It's like, get out of here.
This is my favorite part of the movie because I don't get how this happened. Because famously in Shrek 2, Puss in Boots was like hired to murder Shrek. So I don't know how he crosses paths with Fiona in a Shrekless universe. You know, again, it's something about Shrek not being born just like altered the course of history. But anyway, Puss is Fiona's cat and he's like really fat. And that was honestly the best part for me because I love a chonker. He looks exactly like our mom's cat. Yes. So that was a highlight of the movie for me.
He seems happy too. Exactly.
He seems I liked him better. I liked him better than the regular Puss. So Puss like helps him pull some strings, and you know, eventually, because it's a movie, Shrek's charms do start working on Fiona, and she starts falling for him. Meanwhile, Rumpelstiltskin hires the Pied Piper. This is like the Robin Hood scene all over again, like this very cringe. This is the cringe moment because the Pied Piper shows up and he pulls out his flute and starts playing Sure Shot by the Beastie Boys. And then the witches start breakdancing.
You call this guy a bounty hunter? What's he gonna do? Flute those ogres a lullaby? What? Oh! Okay, got it! Oh, thank you! Stop!
It's honestly a fucking miracle that I didn't just shoot the TV like Elvis and never watch it again.
There were a lot of I just remember when we were talking about Puss in Boots, the part at the beginning where he's outside their window singing One Love.
Oh yeah.
Literally made me feel sick.
Yeah, it was so stupid. Yeah.
Why? It's like they just want to add as much fucking music into it.
Right. Yeah, the Pied Piper, they lay a trap for the ogres. They plant it that Rumpelstiltskin is going to be rolling into town in a carriage. The ogres attack the carriage. The Pied Piper shows up and plays Shake Your Groove Thing and makes the ogres dance. But Donkey manages to help Shrek and Fiona escape. They start arguing. Fiona kisses him, but it doesn't work because she doesn't love him. Oh, yeah. So at one point, Puss in Boots eats the gingerbread man. That was another highlight for me. Again, this is the best. The fat cat is the best part of the movie by a large margin. And I wish that the gingerbread man had been eaten like three movies ago.
Well, he did.
Yeah,
he got his legs pulled off and thrown into a bin, and that's where the fuck he should have stayed.
Exactly. So Shrek decides to throw a Hail Mary. He shows up at Rumpelstiltskin's palace to turn himself in, but because he's a dumbass, he doesn't figure out that Rumpelstiltskin is going to backstab him again. He has him and Fiona like chained to opposite ends of the room.
I thought he was going to have them fight when that happened. Yeah. So I was like, that's kind of sick. I want to see Shrek and Fiona fight to the death.
That should have been how the series ended. Yeah. So then Donkey and Puss in Boots rescue them. Shrek's starting to disappear because his like day. Oh, all of this had to happen in one day. I forgot to mention, but you know, fairy tale rules. Fiona kisses him at the last minute and of course saves the day. They're back at the birthday party. And for some reason, he's happy to be back. Like if I woke up out of my existential nightmare into that birthday party, I would be like, you know what? Take me Like, I'll go back to the...
Yeah, made a huge mistake.
And then, we roll credits, and I'm a Believer is playing. I looked it up. This version is by Weezer, the only band they could find that was worse than Smash Mouth. And
why use it again and get another cover of it? It's so dumb.
I don't know.
Get another fucking song.
Why is I'm a Believer? Yeah, it's like, it makes me mad that I'm a Believer and... and All-Star are like the unofficial Shrek theme song.
Yeah. Honestly, though, Shrek can have All-Star.
Yeah, I mean, that is
I'm a Believer specifically annoys me.
Yeah. Oh, and one thing I kind of rushed through that because the movie sucked and who wants to talk about it. But one thing that I did want to mention is there's a part where Rumpelstiltskin has the dragon. That's when they're chained to the walls. He has the dragon, Donkey's dragon wife, is going to eat them. And then Donkey comes in and Shrek gets him to distract them. And obviously, like, Donkey and the dragon don't know each other. But this dragon is so fucking horny for donkeys that Donkey just, like, stands there and it's able to distract. The dragon just has a donkey fetish and they're able to use that knowledge against her. Like, I thought that part was...
Yeah, what is it about? I don't get, like, what sick fuck wrote that into the script that the donkey and the dragon are sexually attracted to each other? I don't like that. And then it's always like, it started out where she had a crush on him and Donkey wasn't having it because why would he? It's a huge dragon that could kill him.
Right. And it's like a human being attracted to like an elephant. It's just like it doesn't make any sense.
But even a bigger scale issue.
Right. Right.
And then it's like it's fucked up because I thought about this too. Like they kind of alluded to the fact that Fiona is traumatized by her stay in the tower.
Right.
Because I guess she has like nightmares that she wakes up in the tower again and all this stuff. And I'm thinking like, okay, but she has to see this dragon that was terrorizing her for years.
A constant trigger? Like,
right. Yeah. Like they come and like fuck up their house every single night as we've seen.
Yeah, no wonder she's having nightmares. Yeah. I don't have anything else to do about this shit. Do you have anything else to say about this?
Yo, why did they use a spike club to clean the toilets?
Oh, yeah. They had them like pick weapons. Were they supposed to? Oh, no. It was when they were getting ready for the.
They were getting ready and Shrek kept picking up weapons. And for some reason, these like, I guess, toilet cleaners were kept in the same weapon holder as all of the actual weapons. And so the first three things he picked up, it was like, we use it to clean the toilet. And then he picked up another thing and they were both spike clubs. And she was like, that's what we use to clean the thing that we clean the toilets. It's like, well, number one, how is this cleaning the motherfucking toilets? It's a spike club. Like a brush would be much more efficient. And number two, why y'all just throwing all this shit in the same area? Like you don't have a designated spot for your toiletries? What the fuck is really going on in here?
Considering what we know about ogre bowel movements, though, from the beginning sequence where they keep clogging the toilet, like maybe you do need a fucking Morningstar to clean the toilet. Like
I don't like that it's now canon that ogres just shit all the time. Like why is that? Like I guess they eat people, but I don't know. Like a lot of things are carnivorous, and it's not like they just have big huge shits and they fart all the time,
like, right? And wouldn't they like, okay, so let's say that ogres just have biologically massive and difficult to move shit, why would their toilet technology, like why would they be using toilets that are designed for human bowel movements? Like why would they not design some kind of ogre thing, something that like melts it down with lava or something? Like, you know, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Like toilets work for us because we don't have ogre shit.
Yeah.
Like maybe if water doesn't work for y'all, you don't need to change up your toilet technology.
So we got through it. It was bad. It was definitely the worst of the Shrek movies.
I don't think so. I think Shrek the Third was the worst. This one was just like forgettable. Like it just like pass through me. There really wasn't anything that made me angry.
Yeah, that is true.
Except for the party scene and how everyone reacted to Shrek, which I still think is some bullshit.
Right. But that's also like, that's been building up for this whole series because all of those fucking creatures are horrible. Shrek got it right the first time. And then we're supposed to be like rooting for him on this journey to accept them. And it's like, no, they're garbage. They should stay out of his swamp. Like I'm hardline on this.
Yeah, like they are so fucking annoying. And I hate that I'm meant to like the goddamn gingerbread man and Pinocchio.
Right.
And fuck those guys. Get them out of there.
Yeah, I will. I'll tell you one thing. I might, curiosity might get the better of me and I might watch Austin Powers 4 if that ever actually happens. But I will not watch Shrek 5. And I actually have a good out because my 8-year-old son, you would think that I would be watching these movies with him. He doesn't want to fucking watch them. He hates Shrek. And he likes Cat in the Hat. I was like, come on, you just watch it with me. Like, it's just, you know, like, it's not like it's any worse than the stuff that you usually watch. And he's like, I don't like Shrek. And, you know, I have to respect that. So I'm done with Shrek.
Shrek fucking sucks. There's like so many things. Cause like, you know, in the universe of Shrek, we're meant to really like think Pinocchio and the gingerbread men, all these people are hilarious. And
right.
Like, even outside of that, like, in the actual world, I meant to just, like, everyone likes fucking Shrek. And, like, I'll admit, the first one was watchable. But it doesn't mean it was a great movie. It was good for, it wasn't even good. It was just, like, fine for 2001. But it should not have gotten this popular. There shouldn't be so many goddamn movies. It's really not all that. Like, can't we make something better?
Yeah.
Like, so much money being thrown at these. Isn't there anything else we could be making with all this money?
Yeah. It shouldn't. It's just not. I just don't see it as like a classic. It's just a movie. Like, it's, you know, like, at best, like, even the best.
The first one is like passable. Yeah. I still wouldn't call it a classic, but it's like, okay. I mean, this is fine. But I don't know anymore. I just hate being meant to like, everything is like, oh, well, why don't you like this? Well, it's because it fucking sucks and I feel like we can do better. That's why.
Yeah. That kind of brings me to, like, you know, wrapping up this whole year plus that we wasted of our lives. And you know, what are our takeaways from watching Mike Myers for over a year? I will say I don't think that I saw his movies in a new way. I think that history has got it exactly right. I'll always go up for the first two Wayne's Worlds or the only two Wayne's Worlds and the first Austin Powers. But other than that, I would not save any of these movies if the prints were burning up in a fire. Like, that's,
I would throw them in if I saw if the fire was gonna go past them. That's where the fuck they belong.
Yeah, I think I like Mike Myers less than ever after this. I wish I had like a more poetic way to end this, but it's like, no, the movies were bad. And yeah, that's we got it right the first time. So in conclusion, there's no reason to do it.
It was fun revisiting Austin Powers specifically because I know I'll always love Wayne's World 1 and 2.
Right.
But I wasn't sure how history would treat Austin Powers 1 for me. And yeah. I actually really enjoyed watching it. I haven't seen the first one since the 90s.
Yeah.
And that was the one that we actually had on VHS. We watched a lot and had the action figure for and stuff. Like yeah. That one was actually a somewhat important thing in my childhood. And I was happy to see that I still like it. And
right.
I would watch it again. The first Austin Powers was straight.
No, that's true.
It should have been left at that. I think right. that everything with Mike Myers is like, it should have been left at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. So much about Mike Myers' whole career, if he had just won and done, it would have ended a lot better. You know, just like treat every franchise like it's the Cat in the Hat and just don't do another one. He even tried to make a second Cat in the Hat. You know, the only reason why he didn't is because Dr. Seuss's widow actually had to intervene and say, no, my husband is rolling over in his grave.
Yeah, and thank God for that. And I wish we would have gotten the Dieter movie. That's another takeaway.
Right.
The Dieter movie sounded good.
Yeah, that could have been good. Yeah, but I agree. I was kind of afraid to watch Austin Powers because I loved it at the time and I didn't watch it again. And just everything about Austin Powers has become such a joke in retrospect that I was like, I don't know if even the first one has aged well. So now I can confidently say, yes, the first Austin Powers is still good. And everything else, you know, can go straight in the garbage. But at least now I've done the work to have that opinion, and it's, you know, I can defend it. So yeah. Anything else to, I know this is kind of like ending like a fart, but I mean, we can only work with what we've got. Like,
nope. Don't have anything to say. I'm glad it's over with.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Yeah. Let's never do this again. I've been hearing from people about what we're going to do next. I feel like just the general, like, even if it's not, you know, like everybody has like specific suggestions or things that they want us to do. But I feel like the general consensus is, you know, the thing that I hear again and again from people is to do a book club, go back to book club, which is like, you know, it's definitely the best thing that we do. So I do want to, we're going to do a book club. We're going to do another two for one, similar to what we did with Rick James, where we read both of Rick James' books. So we're going to read the landmark of rock biography, Hammer of the Gods, about Led Zeppelin. I've actually never read that, but I've always heard of it. It's like kind of the dirt of its day. Very legendary text in rock and roll excess. And as a companion to that, we're also going to read a classic that both of us have read, Stairway to Heaven by Richard Cole, Led Zeppelin's, what was he, their tour manager?
I think so, yeah.
Which I think we've talked about before because it's the only book that we've ever read where the index has multiple entries for for shitting in shoes.
Like, it has shitting incidents. If I'm remembering correctly, it has shitting incidents, and then under that it has shitting in shoes and shitting in purse.
So I wanted to do this because, you know, one is like the book that people have heard about. And then one is like guaranteed to be trash. So even if Hammer of the Gods turns out to be like, oh, this is surprisingly like not as trashy a read as I expected. Let me tell you, Stairway to Heaven is absolute trash. So I like, no matter what, we're going to be getting some grade A garbage. So I'm giving us some time to do this since it's two books and since, you know, we're all kind of burnt out by this Mike Myers stuff. So I think we're going to come back in January. That's the plan right now. So those of you listening, that gives you plenty of time if you want to read along, if you want to bring a topic for us to discuss when we come back, a question or just something that, you know, you want us to address. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter. So we'll see you in a couple months for two Led Zeppelin books. Maybe we'll see you before then. Maybe not. In any case, let's all be thankful that our long nightmare is over and we can officially declare the year of Mike Myers has come to an end. Thanks for listening.